Hi. All right. So who caught that little snafu in the beginning? It's always great when you start off with a mistake. So welcome, welcome to Cultivate and Thrive podcast live, growing up in self-esteem, building self-value with a faith foundation. Very excited about this topic. I have lots of information I would like to cover. I encourage you to participate in the comments and network. Let me know where you are joining from. And if you join on the replay, hashtag replay, so I know how the reach is going. Do know that this is playing live on my LinkedIn profile, on my Cultivate and Thrive Facebook page, and my Cultivate and Thrive YouTube channel. It will live there, and it will also be turned into an audio podcast. So just a reminder for people of what I do, I help professional Christian moms thrive in their reclaimed value while they cultivate a fulfilling and purposeful life. But let's face it, a lot of this information is for everyone. But that's my focus. So jumping on in, I led a little bit when I introduced this live, when I scheduled it, that as a child, I had low self-esteem and it got progressively worse in my teenage years. Some people are surprised. People who know me, who know me well, won't be so much, especially people who've known me all my life. Now, I grew up in, I think, what would be known now today as a large family. Back then, I'm not so sure. We had five children, and I was the middle child. It was girl, boy, girl, girl, girl. So when the oldest sister moved out, and there were 12 years between my oldest sister and my baby sister. So when the oldest sister moved out, I took over some of the oldest child responsibilities and helping with household chores and the other kids. Good morning, Ronald. Good morning, Judith. So happy to have you both here today. And again, I was a middle child. I felt left out a lot. I really didn't have much of a place. We grew up on a farm, and I have a new project that I'm working on that you'll hear more of that story in. And probably, I share a lot. That's just me, so you'll learn more about that also. But basically, I wasn't bestowed value from my parents. And I'm not saying they didn't. I'm sure they did the best that they can with their focus on five children, one working parent. Things were tight. We were in a rural area, and we were on an Arabian horse farm. So they had their focus of what needed to be done and how to get through and how to parent. And we all learned from that, right? I can look back and know how I could have poured into my children differently as they were growing up. But it's always easy to do that in hindsight. Not that they're not great adults. My three children, I'm very proud of them and the life they have. And I have three beautiful grandchildren that they're being raised very well by their parents, my kids, and their spouses. So because of different financial hurdles we had growing up and the constraints of time and things that we were doing, I did not have a whole lot of self-esteem or self-confidence. I had a lot of issues with my appearance. I was far from in the popular crowd. I did get in trouble a lot in school for talking because I love to talk. As an adult, I found out that is a gift of mine. Back then, it was told, no, be quiet. In fact, one teacher even put tape over my mouth. So very much my strengths that I had were stifled. I did not flourish. I was dealing with my own self-esteem and self-confidence. And without that self-esteem and self-confidence, it was very hard for me to try new things and to make new friends because I was always constantly concerned about what other people thought and how I was not good enough. My internal voices were my biggest struggles. I've learned that. I did get to a point in my life in my teenage years where I just knew I needed to get out of it. And I started self-affirmations. Didn't know what it was. Never heard of it. We really only got three channels on our TV. We did not have cable. Our parents basically chose what we watched. So I learned to do self-affirmations in front of the mirror to build myself up. And that's how I gradually did it. But I still struggled throughout most of my life, but definitely throughout my formative years with my self-confidence and my self-value. I did come to understand more as an adult than anything else that God created you, you and me. He created us as unique, beautiful individuals with a purpose. And finding that value and purpose can be difficult. It took me most of my life to really find my purpose. I'd say just in the last 5 years, I've discovered my true purpose. So when I talk with my children and, you know, I talk to them about what they want to be, what they want to do, especially my youngest always brings up, Mom, you just figured it out yourself. Don't expect me to have it all together. Don't you love when kids throw stuff back at you? My kids do. But you got to love it because they're your words, right? Good or bad. Sometimes it's a great check. Oh my God, I sound like that. Anyhow, so let's talk about childhood influences are really huge in forming us, right? So again, my early experiences, I went through a good period of my life where I did not feel loved by anyone. And I sort of addressed that in my own ways. Not that I wasn't loved, but that's the way I felt. And part of that, I believe, was my self-esteem and what I allowed others to project on me. Also, value was placed on things that other people saw for you. Like, for instance, your parents, your teachers, right? Your other adults in your life. You need to be good at everything. Well-rounded was very much taught back then that you didn't have one thing you're good at and other things not so good at. You had to be good at everything. Well, there's very few people that are good at everything, if there is even one person that's good at everything. And we don't need us to be, because we're created to help each other and work together. So when I excelled at one thing, I was told what I was not good at. And you know, that when you're constantly pointed out what's wrong with you, that's what you focus on. So childhood does that to people, a lot of people. And there are some people that's still doing that today. Luckily, you know, I was blessed with some positive influences from family, friends, and community. And my husband was a big, big supporter and encourager. We met while I was in college and got married in the last semester of college. And he always supported and encouraged me. Sometimes, you know, we joke about he shouldn't have encouraged me to talk so much and to say what I think, because, you know, we're not always in agreement on what we think. And before I used to speak out, I would just always go with what he said. But I'm blessed with the fact that he didn't want me to be that way. He wanted me to speak out and be my own person. And I came across other adults in my life that have helped me both in my faith journey and in my journey of who I am. I have one lady that I hold dear to my heart that I met through a job, and she became like a second mother to me and my family. She's very special, and I will always hold her in a special place in my heart. Also, my faith upbringing in my childhood was very different. So my maternal grandparents were very involved in our family. They had a very strong, I'm going to say, religious commitment, religious values. I'm not sure about faith, because I wasn't really taught that much as a child or young adult about faith, but more about religion and what the obligations were and things like that. So they were very much, you know, attended church every week and that. And In our rural town, we attended church in the next town. It wasn't that far. It's probably 20 minutes. But all their timing and everything was based on the schedules in that community, their school schedules and everything. And because of what my family did, we had an Arabian horse farm. Our religion was more seasonal. And I get into that later in other projects and other times. I have so much stuff to cover today. I don't want to get into that. But I really did not start claiming my faith and value until I was an adult. And do know that it's never, ever too late. I am going to share comments. I'm not going to read them because I have lots of stuff to cover. But I do want to share everyone's comments. Thank you, Judith, for chiming in. So I do want to talk about some faith-based principles because today I am talking about building self-value with a faith faith foundation. So let's talk about some faith-based principles. Now, Genesis 1, 26 through 28 is very, very important. I'm going to read that to you. Then God said, "Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have a complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subjugate it, putting it under your power, and rule over, dominating the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth." He created us, man and woman, male, female, in his image. You are glorious. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Right there, we have a purpose. God created us for a purpose, and in the image and likeness of God. Those are two very, very important foundations for you to have and to know. This will help give you resilience, knowing if you ever have doubt in yourself, God made you in his image. He made you like him for a purpose. Some other scriptures that I want to share that really impacted my life that I hold dear are Luke 12:7. "In fact, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are more valuable than any sparrows." God knows you. He knows every hair on your head. He has created you for a purpose. We are his. One of my favorites, especially as I was coming into my own and working in the church, this scripture I hold dear to my heart, and I think it speaks to some of my talents and gifts. Matthew 28:19-20. "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the commands I gave you. And look, I am with you always, and yes, to the end of time." So God is saying, "I am with you. I am with you." And given us the commandment to go and make disciples of all nations. Yep. Thank you, Ronald, for sharing that. Also, if you want to hear Ronald speak some biblical terms and to speak on them, check out Coffee on the Peak on Fridays. You can see it under Thane Isaacs and Scott Lasek's LinkedIn profiles. But Ronald is amazing. Thank you, Ronald. But do know that God has called you. He has called you for a purpose. It is your duty, your obligation, especially those who are baptized. You've made that commitment to go forth and make disciples and to speak on our value and what God has for us. It may take some time to figure it out. And if you need some help in your discovery, please reach out. I would be so thrilled to help you. So I want to talk about a little bit about my personal growth journey, because every one of us has struggles, whether or not our struggles are public, whether or not you only see the end result. We all have struggles. I've talked to you about the struggles of my own personal value. We have had many struggles in our faith. My husband and I have been married for over 34 years, and it's not been a cakewalk. It's been work. Marriage is a commitment, and it takes hard work. We fall in love many times with glossy eyes, looking at the things that we love that are so amazing about our spouse. Oftentimes, some of these things become annoying, or we overlooked flaws because we were so in love that really grate against us. And I know my husband and I both each have things about the other that just drives us crazy. And we sometimes joke about it. Sometimes we just have to work on it and talk about it. But we had a lot of challenges in our marriage, and especially in the beginning, and it took a lot of work. So know that your growth journey is lifelong. It's everlasting. When I had made this post, I think you had mentioned that she didn't know about me, about my struggles. Well, and I had said, I'm still in the journey, and I will always be in the journey. And knowing that God is putting special people in my life along the way to help me, like Ronald and Judit. These are two very special people in my life. I was blessed to meet Ronald in person this past year, and hopefully I'll meet my Finnish friend in person in the future. That is a goal of ours. And God has sometimes put people in our path to make us grow. They're a challenge. They're an obstacle. And sometimes they're a blessing and teach us. Sometimes they're there for a season. Sometimes they're there for a lifetime. Some of my key milestones in my journey, of course, the marriage, being a mother and children, making choices. So I went to school and graduated from the University of Michigan, Go Blue, with a bachelor's degree in business administration with a concentration in marketing. I loved marketing, but I fell in love with my husband. We got married the last semester of college. We knew we wanted to go forth and multiply. We wanted to have a family. And we wanted, it was important to us to have a parent at home with our children. And at that time, since I was still in college, my husband was in skilled trades. He was actually had a good paying job, and we decided that I would forego my career to be at home with our children to make sure they had that parental guidance and upbringing. And although, you know, you look back and you think, where would I be now had I started my career? Often think about that. And I talk about that with other people who have children, but it's really a choice. I definitely look back and see the difference that it has made in my children. And I'm very proud of the people they are today. And I know that our choices have definitely made an impact. And some of the choices were not the right choices and still made a powerful impact. When I started working in a church during one of the times when I went back to work when my kids were younger, I took a job just for some extra money. That's where I met my second mom. And I did come to the conclusion that evangelization was just marketing the excellent product of Jesus. So here I am having my talents and loves just flowing together through my life. And when we moved to Texas because my husband lost his job, I thought, my kids are older. We talked. I'm going to get a full-time job in marketing. This is what I want to do. This is my passion. And I started applying for entry-level jobs because I haven't done much marketing. Even though I had a degree, it was older. I was older. And I went on interviews that went well, but I did not get hired. So I went to look for what my recent experiences were, and I went to work in the church. I ended up, my last job in the church was running a multi-million dollar church. I was the administrator. I worked alongside a pastor, did very well, did not have happiness. I was blessed that the pastor saw my strengths and we were working on other things. And that's how I found coaching. That's how I found, realized, had affirmations of what my talents and strengths were. That's where my life started aligning to my passion and to my purpose. And I would love to help you on that journey if you need help on that journey. But do know that you may not find your purpose right away, and that's okay. It's a journey. You learn things, you build skills, you build talents along the way, and people are brought into your life to get you to where God has planned for you to go. Yes, I believe God has a plan for each one of us. So lessons are, don't give up. I definitely dealt with mindset issues, fear. I made some poor choices based in fear. I'm overcoming in this year, my word of the year, pivot, definitely pivoting. And you'll find out more. But as we're already 20 minutes in, I definitely want to offer the practical strategies for building your self-esteem within a faith-based framework. And I do have 6 tips for you on building your self-esteem. Do know that your self-esteem and personal value do play crucial roles in your overall well-being. Now, I do on my website, michellegunn.com, have a blog post about well-being, and it talks about many areas of well-being. Check it out. I think it has some great insights for you to help work on your overall well-being, not just specific areas. But they contribute to your mental and emotional resilience, because without that, you're doomed. You'll give in to fear, the fear of failure. Building your mental and emotional resilience will help you how to navigate and to perceive life challenges, how to overcome these. High self-esteem often leads to increased confidence, healthier, happier relationships, and a greater ability to handle stress. Stress is horrible. Moreover, a positive self-worth serves as a foundation for setting and achieving goals, for promoting your personal growth and fulfillment. Embracing one's value fosters a sense of purpose. It reinforces resilience in the face of setbacks and contributing to a more satisfying and meaningful life. And we're all looking for that. So let's talk about these 6 things. So number 1, reflect on faith teachings. I've shared some scripture for you, but regularly reflect on the teachings from your faith that emphasize your inherent worth and purpose. This can be a great source of inspiration and affirmation, and I am a deep believer of affirmations. Affirmations helped me in my teenage years get over my low self-esteem, or build it up. Maybe not get over, but build it up. So, and if you need help, Google is your friend. Just go on there, Google scriptures for self-value, for self-esteem, for self-worth. Things will pop up. Find things that resonate with you. 2, prayer and meditation. Now, I'm not one that can spend a lot of time in meditation. It's just not who I am. But I can do short short instances, short increments of time in meditation, and definitely prayer. You can do it while you're driving, while you're eating. Practice it in bed before you get out in the morning, get up in the morning. I've started doing a short prayer of gratitude before I get out of bed, thanking God for allowing me this next day, and to bless everyone I come into contact with, and to bless the words that come out of my mouth. So there's lots of times you can do that. Number three, gratitude practice. Many times people just build and build upon their things and don't take the time to be grateful. So cultivate that gratitude by acknowledging and appreciating the blessings in your life, no matter how small. This aligns with many faith traditions and helps shift focus from shortcomings to a positive self-image. And it fosters a sense of commitment. And if you need help with that, gratitude is all over LinkedIn, everywhere. I think you can find it on Facebook. People are constantly posting about gratitude. It is like so popular right now. So do it. Don't just keep looking for more to fulfill yourself. Be grateful and feel contentment of where you are. Number four, positive affirmations. Incorporate them into your life. Use affirmations that are rooted in your faith. Put them in your daily routine. Repeat statements that align with your beliefs, reinforcing a positive self-image and reinforcing your value. I often have clients make a list of three self-affirmations, and they're not words that describe how they help others, but it's words of describing themselves, their innate values. In a sense, an example can be, I am strong. Many times we're stronger than we think we are. Put those on a post-it. Stick it somewhere where you always see. Write it on a mirror. You can write with a permanent marker. It will wash off of a mirror. Write it so you see it every morning and every night. I give you lots of ways you can use, like your word of the year. You can also do it with self-affirmations in my word of the year exercises that I did. But affirmations are huge. When you're feeling down, say them. And don't just say them in your head. Say them out loud in front of the mirror. If you have to, get out your cell phone. Turn on the camera and turn it to yourself. I had it on myself already. Turn it on yourself and say it to yourself. Say your affirmations. You need to believe it. Community involvement. Participate in faith-based communities or groups, surrounding yourself with supportive individuals who share similar values that can contribute to a sense of belonging and affirmation. Be places where you are supported, loved, and encouraged. Don't stay where people don't appreciate you and pick you apart. Number six, service to others. Engage in acts of kindness and service, reflecting the principles of love and compassion in your faith. Contributing positivity to others' lives can boost your self-esteem and reinforce your value within your faith community. So you can serve within your faith community, or you can look for other ways to serve. You can serve in daily life. Honestly, just be polite and hold a door open for someone who has their hands full. Smile and be pleasant. That is service that is going away. That will make them feel better. That will help them pay it forward. And that will help you feel better. Remember that building self-esteem within a faith-based framework involves a holistic approach. It's not just one thing. And it integrates spiritual practices with practical positive habits in your daily life. It's not something you do once a week, once a month, or at Christmas and Easter. I'm going to share this, that Ronald is, yes. So God is with us through our struggles. And, you know, it's time that we definitely speak about marriage, that it is difficult. Too many people get in marriage thinking that it's going to be a breeze and it's so easy just to bail on people that they do. Now, I'm not condemning anybody who's been divorced. There are plenty of reasons to get divorced, plenty of solid reasons. But also, we need to really know what marriage is. Definitely. Thank you, Ronald, for sharing that. So, again, it is so important to have gratitude and positive affirmations in your life to build your self-esteem. If you feel like it, I would love you to take the opportunity to type in the comments or say it out loud if you don't feel comfortable typing it in the comments, an affirmation for yourself, something good about you, something that affirms your value. Put it in the comments. Or just say it out loud. It's a great practice to be in. Now I'm going to talk about overcoming obstacles because we all have them. There are 10 common obstacles to self-esteem and value that we need to address. Number one, this is huge for me. It was huge from when I was young and I still deal with it. And I know I will always deal with it. And it's that negative self-talk. That persistent negative self-talk, the negative thoughts and self-criticism can significantly undermine your self-esteem, creating a barrier to recognizing personal value. You need to deal with it. Squash it. You've heard me talk about positive intelligence and positive mindset, right? There's the judge. That is the biggest player in my life. Judging myself, judging others, telling me what's wrong with me, telling me how I'm going to fail, telling me how I need to please others despite what I really want to do. Squash it. Deal with it. Build that mental fitness. It's an ongoing process. It's not going to happen overnight. And I'm going to share these beautiful thoughts from Ronald. Absolutely. So be a support for others. In addition to supporting yourself, it's very easy to set a kind word, especially in social media platforms. Yay, love it. Great job. Private message someone telling them how important they are, how their words have touched you, what an example they're portraying, something you love about them. In person to your loved ones who are most harsh with, definitely. Number two, comparison. Oh my gosh. Constantly comparing oneself to others, especially through the lens of perceived achievements or appearances, can lead to feelings of inadequacy. Social media is huge for that. Have you not made $5 million this year? What's wrong with you and your business? I can show you how I did it. Yeah. First of all, you got to know what success means to you. That's another topic. Also, look at how pretty and beautiful that person looks. Their life is perfect. They got a new car. They got this. Well, we have filters. Filters. Now, I don't have a filter on, but I have makeup on. So, I mean, I have showed myself bare, but I prefer to be this way. Many times we only show the good things we've accomplished in life, right? My kid's on the honor roll. My kid is a speaker. I did a TED talk. I got a new client. That's wonderful. They're good things. I'm not saying to share it, but there are failures along the way in every journey. Most people do not share their failures. So know that the journey and the positive outcome you have seen has taken work. There has been struggles. Know that. That leads me to number three, past trauma or failures. Unresolved past traumas or failures can impact self-esteem, creating lingering doubts and a sense of unworthiness. I gotta have a drink of my coffee. Excuse me. Now, if you have had a past trauma, physical, mental, emotional, you need to deal with it. This is not my area of expertise, and I will not pretend to be able to do that. You need to get help from someone who has the knowledge, the education, the experience. Traumas are a huge thing. So please, please do have that dealt with. Failures. I like to think of fail as first attempt in learning. That's what a failure is. And in the future, I'm going to have one of my Wednesdays is going to be about failing to success, failing into success. So look at failures as an opportunity to learn, to build upon something. Number four, lack of boundaries. Wow, I know I've had issues with this. I know a lot of people who have issues with this. Difficulty in setting and maintaining healthy boundaries can lead to feelings of being taken advantage of and affecting your self-worth. In this day and age of being available 24/7, our cell phones are doing that. Our little computers, we can do work anywhere. We can be available. Clients take advantage of that. And I'm not speaking about my clients. I'm talking about any industry, any industry. Everything is immediate, has to be fixed now when it doesn't. Someone can send an email. You can deal with it during your working hours, or they can contact you during working hours. Now, there are true emergencies, but boundaries need to be set. You need to not allow people to take advantage of you, as you should not take advantage of others. Boundaries is a good topic for another day. Number five, which we've touched on, the social media influence, the excessive exposure to curated, and idealized representations on social media can contribute to unrealistic standards, impacting self-esteem. So when we look at social media, you need to consider a few things. What brought them there? Is it real? Is it a hook just to bring you in to sell you something? We are often told in our social media platforms to share all of our life, not just our business life, share your personal wins and that. But some people are being authentic and sharing some of their struggles. That's wonderful. And I think we need to realize that social media is great. It has a purpose, but is not something which we should measure our life against. Unrealistic perfectionism. I'm not perfect. I've already made a few mistakes today. That's okay. That's who I am. I prefer to give you me for who I am so that you know it's okay to make mistakes. It makes us who we are. But striving for perfection without recognizing and celebrating achievements can lead to chronic feeling of inadequacy. It can bring people down so much that it can hurt their self-esteem, that it leads to depression, self-harm, God forbid, suicide. So that is definitely something that you need to overcome and realize, no, you're not perfect. And the person who appears perfect is also not perfect. Number seven is external validation and dependency. You know that we often rely too heavily on external validation for a sense of self-worth, and it can make us vulnerable to fluctuations in others' opinions. Social media. How many likes did I get? How many comments did I get? Am I trending? Am I this? Am I that? My God, they didn't like it. Now, serves a purpose. Those things serve a purpose, but it does not define who you are. Your validation comes from within, comes from knowing who you are, comes from knowing who God created you to be. Know yourself, love yourself. Number eight, fear of failure or rejection. Oh my God, I'm going to tell you, I still deal with that. It's huge. It's chronic. It can hinder personal growth and create a barrier to taking healthy risks. I had a healthy risk to take 2 years ago, and I didn't do it out of fear. I look back and I'm dealing with those feelings and I'm moving forward. I can think about where I would be now had I not done it, but instead I am learning to move forward and build upon what I have learned. Thank you, Pastor Deborah, for joining, and thank you for your support. This is very important information for everyone. Yes. So learn from the mistakes, learn to move forward. Again, that is one of the things that helped me choose my word pivot for this year. And again, I've taken a leap of faith, have a new project in the works that you'll hear more about later. Cultural and societal pressures. From the time we're young, especially in our teenage years, it doesn't end. Into our adulthood, societal norms and cultural expectations can impose unrealistic standards, affecting how we perceive our own worth. We're always measuring up to what other people's expectations are. You need to have your own expectations that are realistic, that incorporate your talents, your strengths, your God-given gifts to build your own self-value. And number 10, we talked about it a little bit, chronic stress. And I know there are people on LinkedIn have built platforms on this because stress almost killed them. Prolonged stress can negatively impact your mental well-being, making it challenging to maintain a positive self-image and sense of personal value. And I'm sure most people that I know have some tale of stress. One of the things that caused me, I got stress. I started getting hives in a former job, and it would start out as look like mosquitoes, like attack my body. I had little bites all over, and they grew and grew into hives. So my whole body was covered with them, including my face. That's when it got really bad, when it's on my face. It got to a point when I knew I was triggered. Although overall, I didn't feel stressed. I felt triggered. I feel a swelling around my mouth or my eyes. I just felt it coming on. And I knew something had triggered it. So I had to figure out what the trigger was. And I figured out what the trigger was. And I started dealing with the stress. And that particular thing I dealt with, I combated it with my self-value, with my affirmations of who I am, who I am meant to be, and what my strengths are. And the person, it was a person in this job causing, actually it was several people over time, causing these stress-induced physical afflictions. I could not allow them to have that control over me any longer. I stood up to it and dealt with it. You can too, by building your mental fitness. I want to share, since this is building self-esteem with a faith foundation, I want to share 10 ways that you can use faith-based strategies to build your resilience. So number one, again, is that prayer and meditation. Please use it regularly. It can foster resilience and reinforce a sense of personal value within a faith context. By all means, surround yourself with people of your faith, people who have the same values of you. Have confidants that you can talk to. Have groups of people you can share with. Support groups, so to speak. They don't have to be official support groups, but definitely have a support around you. Number two, seeking guidance in scriptures. Turning to religious texts for guidance and wisdom can offer you comfort and perspective during challenging times, reinforcing your faith-based identity. And I know I've seen on Facebook before, if you have these issues, these scriptures will help you. I don't have that handy, but I'm sure you can Google it. You can just Google scripture, and whatever it is that you're struggling with pops up. I do it. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Use that scripture. Community support. Like I talked about, it's very important to have the support. You need to, we are social beings. Even introverts are social beings. That's how we were made. They just might not flourish in the bigger context, but really engage in a faith community that supports common values that you can go to and talk with or do things with that build you up. It can be one person, it can be 10, it can be 100. Just make sure you get that support. Number four is your gratitude practices that we talked about earlier. Integrate the gratitude into your daily prayers and reflections. Reinforces your positive mindset, contributing to your resilience by focusing on the blessings in your life. We all have blessings, no matter how bad things get. Somebody else has it worse. Believe me, I have learned in my life never to say things cannot get worse, because guess what? They did. They most definitely did. So I focus on the positive. What is my blessing? Again, before I get out of bed in the morning, I thank God for my blessings. Number one, that I'm awake and can start the new day. Number two, for all the blessings I've been given. And for me, I am grateful that I have a house, that we have heat in this cold that Texas is experiencing. I am thankful that we have income in our family. We are thankful that we have food in our family. But I am more grateful that I have people in my life to allow me to pour into them, and people in my life that pour into me and build me up. And I am thankful that God has given me a purpose and allows me to do it. Number five, learning from adversity. Viewing challenges as opportunities for spiritual growth aligns with many faith teachings, right? This perspective can help enhance resilience and contribute to a stronger sense of self-worth. Again, learning from our failures, first attempt in learning from our challenges, learning from mistakes we have made can help us move forward and do so in faith. Yes, you did. I am thankful I did tell her that this week. Although it's freezing here, it's way freezing there. I don't think I could survive. When I go visit you did, it will be in warm weather. Know that. Anyhow, number six, forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge in faith in scripture. Embrace forgiveness as emphasized in many faith traditions. It can release burdens from you and promote healing, fostering resilience in the face of personal or interpersonal challenges. Forgive others, and that forgiveness isn't just for the other person, it's for you. Also, a big thing is self-forgiveness. We need to learn to forgive ourselves for transgressions, for mistakes, for failures, for things we haven't done, for things we failed to do. We need to forgive. I do have a PDF on forgiving yourself. If you would like it, I offer it as a gift. You can comment forgiveness, or tell me you want the forgiveness PDF, message me, whatever. I will gift that to you. That is something that I do to give back. And it's just very important. We have all done things that we need forgiveness for. We often cannot forgive ourselves. Number seven, mindfulness through faith practices. Incorporating mindfulness techniques rooted in faith, such as mindful prayer or contemplative practices, can enhance resilience by promoting a calm and centered mindset. We need to be able to find peace, especially through a hectic life when things are being thrown at us. We need to practice calm, just being. Say a prayer, practice peace, listen to your breathing. All of those will work. And number eight, service to others, acts of service guided by faith principles of love and compassion not only benefit others, but also contribute to your sense of purpose and resilience. Find your gift and talents. Those lead to your purpose. Share that. Not only will you be gifting others, you will be gifting yourself. Honestly, when you give of what God has given to you, it is blessings. Blessings for everyone. You can work through organizations, work through faith organizations, nonprofits, just daily life. Again, find your purpose, gift your gifts. And number 9, faith-based counseling or support groups may be very well needed, especially, like I said, past trauma. There are things that coaches can help with. There are things that counsel and therapy can help with. Please do not get the two confused. They are separate. A coach can guide you and can offer some healing, but there are instances when you need professional help and guidance for specific things. Support groups are also a big help. Use those. I know people who do that, love it, and get a great deal of benefit. And not only that, you're benefiting the people that are also in the group. When you share your story, you are letting other people know that they are not suffering alone. There's other people that suffer with the same things. And when they see your progress, they know they can make progress. So know that faith-based counseling and support groups can provide a safe space to navigate your challenges while integrating your faith perspectives. Number 10, affirming faith identity, right? Regularly affirming your faith identity and understanding the significance placed on each individual by the divine can bolster resilience and reinforce a positive self-image. Believe me, I have struggled with this in my coaching because society really doesn't want us to preach, to speak about faith, especially in business. It is very much part of who I am, and I am learning every day to give more and more of myself in all aspects and affirming my faith identity. And I am surrounding myself and with people who share that same value, who can support me and I can support them. So now that I've run almost an hour, I just want to make sure that you know the value of your self-esteem and self-value. You are created as an individual. God created no other one like you. Even identical twins have differences. They are still individuals. We were created to work together. We are not created to do everything on our own. We need each other. And as we need each other, the world needs you to be the person that you are created to be. If you want to have discussions further, please reach out. My website is michellegunn.com, 1L, 2Ns. I am working on it. I'm renewing it, refreshing it. Reach out, cultivateandthrive@gmail.com. DM me on any social platform that I'm on, Facebook, Instagram, and here on LinkedIn. Please reach out and believe me, if we're not a fit, I can help you find someone who is, because there's many choices of people that can help you. You need to know you, and you need to claim you, and you need to be you. The world deserves the you you were created to be. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed week. See you in social media. See you in the DMs. See you live next week. Have a good day. Bye.